You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
We're in a series called Spaces. 3 weeks in, week one, Pastor Glyn spoke about the power of margin, the power of space. Week two, Pastor Glyn talked last week about this cycle that we find ourselves in, or we can find ourselves in, hopefully, of enlarging, choosing to enlarge, choosing to stretch, choosing something new, and then the need to then settle, to make a new normal. If you haven't listened to that message, make sure you go back and listen to it. Today's message is called Space for Purpose. Space for Purpose. The reason why is because we believe this spacious place that God is bringing us into is not just for the sake of it, but it's for a reason. Yes. Coming up on the screen is a picture of Holy Trinity Church in Bolton, the town where I live and where I was raised, right next to the train station it is. And this church was completed, being built 200 years ago, just a little bit more than 200 years ago. And reading about the history of this church this week, I discovered that for 160 years, this church, Holy Trinity Church, served the purposes of God in the town of Bolton and in that parish where it was built. And for 160 years, it was the pride of the parish. It was the place where people in the community in that part of town knew they could go if they needed hope. It's that they knew they could go there if they needed support. They knew they could go there if they needed a miracle or they needed a breakthrough. And it was inspiring to read all about it. But as I continued to read through the historic account, it came to the 90s. And due to dwindling congregation numbers, the church closed. Now, I was a teenager in this city in the 90s, and I've got a suspicion as to why. I know the congregation numbers were dwindling because the 90s was pretty crazy in this city. If you were there, give me a wave. Don't, okay, it's not a sin, chill out. There you go, thanks Phil. You didn't move, bro, and I was like, what are you saying? So for 20 plus years, more than that, maybe 30 years, that church stood derelict just as a monument to the past. And then in the early sort of 2010s, a developer bought the church and has turned it into apartments. It's now called Trinity Court Apartments in Bolton. But every time I drive past the train station, or more likely I drive to the train station to pick up one of my sons in the middle of the night, my heart sinks a little bit because I can't get away from the fact that this church was representative of a move of God, but it's gone from a movement to a monument. They're always for sale. Nobody seems to buy them. There's like one or two maybe, and there's something criminal about the fact when you see something that was designed for a purpose and it's no longer serving that purpose, because if you lose your purpose, you lose your impact. If you lose your purpose, you lose momentum. If you lose your purpose, you lose your way. And this series about God bringing us into a spacious place is not just for the sake of it, it's for a purpose. The purpose of Audacious Church is that we will display the supernatural God. Give me a wave if you like the new song, Supernatural. Keep waving if you were about a line and a half behind. Yeah, me too. Brilliant. Matt Blackwell is brilliant at teaching new songs. Thank you, Matthew. To display the supernatural God, that's what we believe God is bringing us into a spacious place for. And we're not just prophesying this about our central location of this campus and our new building. We're not just saying it for that. We're saying it because you are the church. And we believe that God is bringing you into a spacious place. If you can imagine and lift your eyes and begin to think about possibility, then we will be purposeful, hearing the inaudible, seeing the invisible, believing the incredible, and doing the impossible. Matthew 5, Jesus says these words in verse 14, "You are the light of the world." We know that Jesus was the light of the world, and that's how he's described. But this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, he's speaking to the crowds, he's speaking to me and you, and it says, "You are the light of the world." Verse 16 says, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Shine bright before others, Jesus says. There's nothing more purposeful that you can do than display the supernatural God that has turned your life upside down. That's what we're about. That's why we exist as a church. And our new building that Pastor Glenn put a picture up of, and I'll show you again 2 weeks ago, that we're going to build here in our central location, just out here on the car park. There it is on the left. This is not intended to be a monument to the story so far. This is supposed to represent a movement to the story that is to come. We're not building this building for just this generation. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And so you don't just live once, YOLO. You live three times. You live for you live for your children and your children's children. And we're prophesying. We're prophesying, Audacious Church, that we are a church not just for 2025, but for 2035 and 45 and 55. And as long as God tells us to do it, we're here for the long haul. So we're talking about purpose today. But if you want to live on purpose, first thing you need to understand is that it's not cheap. I'm not talking about money here. I'm just talking about nothing meaningful in your life came easy. Everything that is like dear to you or means something or you're proud of, it actually cost you something. It cost you tears. It cost you hours. It cost you pounds, because purpose is expensive, but purpose is eternal. If you're going to build your life about something, maybe about something that's still here when your life ends, rather than your life being about you now and that's it and you go to the grave and there's nothing else. But wouldn't it be great if people told stories about your life and the things that you did, and people walked in the footsteps that you have carved out a new path? Well, I think in order to be about purpose, you have to get serious about being planted. Because being planted in the church, and I'll explain what that means in a minute, but being planted in the church, according to Psalm 92, means that you will flourish even in your old age. Our church will not be a monument if it is full of people who understand the power of Psalm 92, where it says, planted in the house, they will flourish in the courts. But that's the kind of famous verse, but I love verse 14 of Psalm 92. 13 says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. But verse 14 says, they still bear fruit even in old age. Come on, if you're over 40, give me a wave. I'm not saying that's old. You can draw your own conclusions from what I just said. It says they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. And I'm prophesying, at least over me and my household, that when I turn 50 next year, it's not time to fizzle out, fade down, give up. It's actually time to go to the next level. I want to share with you real quick in the next 10 minutes before we go back into worship. I want to share with you three benefits or the fruit, if you like, three different examples of the fruit of me and you making a choice that we will be planted in the house. The Bible makes it clear here that there is a link between flourishing and planting and flourishing. Pastor Glenn said it last week. He said, we enlarge, Isaiah 54, and then we settle. He gave that illustration, for those who were here, you'll remember, about a ladder. And when the ladder is settled, another word for that is the ladder is planted. You got to plant the feet of the ladder solid. So, three benefits of being planted. Number one, when you are planted, you can pivot. When you are planted, write it down, when you are planted, you can pivot. In other words, you can see options, you can see possibility, but it comes from being planted. It may surprise you to find out that I am not an athlete. But I know some athletes because they're my mates and they go to this church, and so therefore they're your mates too. This on screen here is someone that some of you may know. His name's Patrick. He's a professional basketball player. You can give him a round of applause. He's going to watch this back. So this is for you, Patrick. Patrick's a professional basketball player currently playing in Hungary. His brother Jordan is playing in the UK over in Yorkshire, I think, somewhere. And these boys grew up at our church. And you may not know them because they're out playing basketball, but you will know their mum. Her name is Catherine Whelan. Fun fact about Catherine, she also played professional basketball to a very high level. Next time you see her, just throw a ball at her, just see what happens. She just receive it instinctively. No, don't do that, it might hit her in the face. I was talking to Jordan this week about basketball because I know nothing about basketball other than the fact that I'm not very good at it. And he was reminding me and I was asking him about the fact that in basketball, you can't actually run with the ball. That's why they bounce it. You can't hold the ball in your hands and run. It's a foul, it's called travel. And so when you do that, you have to turn the ball over to the other team. So what happens is that you have to bounce the ball, and that's what they do. And if the way is clear, they can bounce the ball down the length of the court. But inevitably, an opponent, another player will come in your way or you'll run out of court. And so therefore, what you have to do is you have to stop. And the minute you stop and hold the ball, you can no longer move. Your options are to shoot or pass. But he began to talk to me about what happens is when you're in that scenario is that you plant one foot and the other foot now gives you the ability to pivot. This one's planted, this one moves. And so you can be in the corner of the court with other opponents around you, but what you do is you plant one foot and now you've got the ability. You can't move because that's a foul, but if one foot's planted, you have the ability to move, to pivot, and to look up and see your options. And I just want to say, as I just give you this sort of crossover, that that is exactly the same as for a Christian. Is that if you plant yourself in the house of God, when things don't go according to plan, I've been doing this, you know, at the risk of sounding like your granddad, I've been doing this a long time, 30 years plus. I've been serving God and building the church. I wasn't saying it for that, but if you're gonna, no, I'm joking. But over the last 30 plus years, I've seen so many people who were going so well for God. They were passionate about living for God in their career and sharing their faith and building the church, but something happened. A change of circumstances. They went from being single to being married or being, you know, not having children to having their first child or changing their job or moving the house. And something comes along and all of a sudden they end up just dropping the ball and turning it over to the opponent. Because they couldn't see in them, they didn't have the strength, the resilience, the faith, the possibility thinking to go, you know what, there's another option. I used to give all of my time to this, and now we've got a baby, and so I can't do it anymore. But you know what? I'm going to give all the time that I gave to doing that. Now I'm just going to give that to praying about that. There is a pivoting, a flexibility that is made possible for me and you by being planted. And I want to challenge Audacious Church today that when we build this building and it grows old over time and it's used for all of the purposes of God, that we will still be in the church, we'll still be living for Jesus, we'll still be passionate about the things of God. Because when things come against our lives, let's face it, when we moved from Mary Street into this building, some people didn't grow with us. It's not a criticism, it's an observation. And I just want to say, I want the whole church to go on this journey. That means change, it means things are different. We don't know where we're going to park, what we're going to do, but we're planted in the house, so therefore, we can pivot. Second thing about being planted, number one, you can pivot. Number two, you can have access to or you have shared momentum. It may surprise you to find out that I am not an athlete. But I know some. And I was talking to my friend Ernst this week. He's a rugby player, plays for Sale Sharks. Both Patrick and Ernst are not in church today because they're doing the purpose of God for their life and displaying the supernatural God in what they're doing. This is Ernst, he's from South Africa and it's actually pronounced Ernst. But when you live in Bolton, you just go Ernst. He was talking to me. He plays in the Gallagher Premiership, plays all over the place, he's a fantastic athlete and just a great guy. Him and his wife, Bianca, have been part of our church for a few years. And he was talking to me about a scrum. And what a scrum is when something has happened and 8 forwards get their arms locked and their feet planted and they come against the opposition the same number, and they begin to push forward. And I said to him, why would you have to have a scrum? Like, do you have like two each and you can choose when you can have them? He was like, no, that's not the rules. He said, basically, a scrum normally happens when someone's made a mistake. They've dropped the ball. And that metaphor, that sort of crossover is not lost on me. Because there's times in your life when you make mistakes. You drop the ball. Thank you, Joel. You drop the ball and here's what you need to hear. Don't throw it properly. Did you see how he did that little spin then? Joel's been to a rugby match, everybody. Just the one. What happens is when you drop the ball, when you break the telly, it's not broke, Hannah, it's fine. When you drop the ball, let me just say this to you. When you make a mistake, there is no penalty because Jesus paid the price. The cross is powerful enough for the worst decision you've ever made. I'm not making light of it or saying that we should be casual with sin, but you've got to stand in front of the cross and recognize its power. There's nothing you've done that is too powerful for the cross to cover what you've done. So there's no penalty, but there are consequences. We're not free from consequences just because we're not punished for the sin that we have. And what happens is when we're living in the consequences of the decisions that we make, thank God that you can be planted. You see, Ernst was telling me that you plant your feet like this so that you've got some resilience and some momentum moving forward, but the power comes from planting your arms. Because you stand with a brother or sister either side, and then the combined strength means that your mistake is no longer a retreat. Your mistake is turned into an opportunity to move forward and to actually take some territory. I said, what are you trying to do in the scrum, Ernst? And he said, what you're trying to do is you're trying to take ground. And that's exactly what happens when you're planted in the church. You might well make a mistake, but let me tell you, you'll still be here 10 years from now. If you plant yourself in the church and plant yourself with your brothers and sisters in Christ, younger, older, different backgrounds, different worldview even, but if we plant ourselves in the scrum of the church, it means that when we make mistakes, we can go, yeah, I did, I made a mistake. Let's not pretend. Let's not be all plastic Christians and pretend we never. Let's just be honest about making mistakes, but recognize that on the day you make a mistake, you've got a brother and sister either side of you. And when they make a mistake, listen, when they make a mistake, instead of exposing that and just going, see, you idiot, what have you done? The scrum doesn't work in that case. What happens is we drop the ball, okay, done. Line under, get together, move forward. Number two, when you planted, you have shared momentum. And the last one, as the band come up and join me, because we're going to spend a bit of time in worship, we've changed the run sheet so that we can have some time in God's presence after hearing the word, so that we can just concrete, we can just receive the word from God. It may surprise you to find out, but I am not an athlete. But I know some. And we have a group of guys and girls in our church that are all fighters. They're MMA fighters. One of them's name's George. And I realized through my conversation with him that when you're planted, you're protected from the enemy. Number three, when you're planted, you have protection from the enemy. George and the other guys and girls that are all belong to the same gym, Manchester top team in Ashton. They've been coming to church for, I don't know, 12 months, 18 months. And such a joy to see them just displaying God as they're growing in their faith, recognizing that God has called them to a cage where I am definitely not called. But I was talking to George about the stage in the fighting where they end up on the floor. I don't know if you've ever seen mixed martial arts. It's not all kind of like, you know, tally-ho, let's do some boxing. No, they're on the floor and they get into like a bit of a scramble where you can't tell whose leg is whose and whose, and they're all sort of tied in a knot. And I said to him, what's that called? He said, it's called grappling. And I said, tell me about that. And he said, the most important two things about when you're in a grappling situation is pressure and posture. I said, tell me about it. And he said, well, your opponent knows that if he can get you into a certain posture, that you got no chance of getting out of it, and he could choke you out. And so part of the plan when you're in the wrestle with the opponent, when you're in the plan, in the wrestle with the enemy, is to make sure that your posture guarantees that the opponent goes, okay, I'm not going to get anywhere with this. If you can get yourself into it, that's not actually George, that's Dylan, one of the other boys. George is too shy. He didn't want to be on the screen. Also, he said that he doesn't end up on the floor because he just knocks people out in the first second. He didn't say that, George. I'm sorry, I'm just kidding. I don't know if he's in this service or the next. Probably knock me out. But it's almost like when your opponent recognizes that your posture means that you are not vulnerable to being taken down, kind of tries to get out and start again. Then they get back into it and he's looking for an opportunity to read your posture to see whether or not there's an opportunity here to take you out. And I think that's what the devil does. I think the devil comes to your life. When you're living in the bullseye of God's will, that is what's going to happen. That's why the shield of faith from Ephesians is so important. It says, take up the shield of faith because it will extinguish the fiery arrows of the enemy. And so in this journey, this wrestle of faith, when the enemy comes to your life, especially if you're living with purpose, he's going to come to your life and he's going to look at your posture. When you're planted, body fixed, just like some of the poses that George was talking to me about, one of them's interestingly called the crucifix. It's like impossible to take someone out when they're doing that posture. And the enemy will look at your life and go, hey up boys, we're not gonna get anywhere with this guy. He's planted in the church. And all the devil and his strategies and his schemes, they'll just go and look for someone else. Because your posture says to the enemy, no chance. No chance. You may be out of breath. You may be tired. You may feel like I've got nothing left. I don't know if I can even stand up. But because of the posture that you are in, the enemy will say, I'll give up with this guy. There's nothing you can do to a person who's living on purpose. Paul said it in the New Testament, didn't he? He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What can you do to someone who's living on purpose? They're indestructible.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.